Track 11, Unit 10, Listening, Part 4. Multiple matching. Speaker 1.
The idea of passive income, which comes in regardless of whether you're working, has always been appealing. That's how I got into self-publishing, initially with a set of instruction manuals, of all things. Once that stream was flowing, after some wrong turns that nearly ended my career, I could finally turn to something that would give me a sense of fulfillment, a fictionalized account of my childhood, which had been on my to-do list for ages. You might call it self-indulgent to put my younger self at the forefront of my work, potentially putting readers off, and I was racked with self-doubt in this respect. But now I realize that all fiction is to some extent autobiographical, and I'm relieved to have found a ready audience for my work.
Speaker 2.
I've been making a decent income as a ghostwriter of celebrity autobiographies for years, so you might say I've been writing fiction all along. There's certainly plenty of embellishment of the truth to make it more sensational. Having honed my talent for engaging narratives in other people's names, it felt like the natural next step to apply those skills to something more creative. I'd assumed it was a matter of coming up with a strong plot, then following the well-trodden path of turning it into a full-blown novel. But I couldn't have been further from the truth. When it finally came out, after countless revisions, it was universally panned by the critics, for good reason. Hence my decision to revert to what I know best.
Speaker 3.
It very nearly didn't happen at all, after hackers took control of my computer and corrupted my files, including my almost complete manuscript. Fortunately, I had printouts of earlier versions, so I was able to painstakingly reconstruct most of it eventually, and may even have added improvements along the way. My publishers were certainly relieved after the sizable advance they'd paid me, and although I'd originally agreed to write the thing on a whim, flattery having been a major influence, I felt a strong sense of commitment to see it through. I still have a nagging doubt that the book's success is more about my earlier reputation as an actor rather than any inherent quality in the writing, but I'm prepared to let that go.
Speaker 4.
As a person with dyslexia, I struggled in English lessons at school and was told in no uncertain terms that my writing was dreadful. But I used to have such a vivid imagination, such that I could create entire worlds in my mind with dozens of characters and intertwining plot lines. So as not to lose track of who had said what to whom, I started committing my stories to paper, and eventually, after a lot of encouragement from friends and family, I decided to take the plunge and get them professionally edited, despite my being continually racked by self-doubt. They still needed a lot of refinement before being fit to publish, but my editors provided invaluable guidance along the way.
Speaker 5.
It started out as an accident when I was still a drama student. Some friends and I put on a comedy show, and I was tasked with scripting some sketches. One of my early drafts involved an overly complex dialogue between a plaintive alien and the earthling he encounters during an accidental visit to Earth. That particular script was too shallow and didn't make the cut, but I kind of identified with the grumpy space traveller character I'd created and ended up writing a lengthy backstory for him, which gradually morphed into a sci-fi trilogy. Despite frantic work commitments, I was driven by an uncontrollable urge to get it out of my system. Gratifyingly, when it finally came out, it seems to have caught the vibe within a certain niche.